Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Good morning, Reveal. How is everyone today? Good. You sound a little dead on me right now. Is everyone all right? Is there a problem? We can bring up the house lights there, please. Hey, listen, I had a dream last night. Well, it's actually a little stronger than a dream. I think God wanted me to kind of stress something. I think it was more prophetic. And the dream was basically that the Cowboys get hammered today. So there you go. Stephen. Crazy, man. Glad that you're here. When you came in, you should have received a bulletin, or maybe you're scanning them out in the lobby and you're on one of our e-bulletins there. Either way, you get the same information, and want to just ask you to do a couple things. If you're a guest with us first time, if you wouldn't mind filling out the information form inside of your bulletin. If you're a second-time guest, fill it out as well. Check the box to say, I'm a second-time guest. Want to know we didn't chase you off. And then if you wouldn't mind dropping in the offering buckets, so they can buy in just a few moments. Want to draw your attention to a couple things quickly. We have a star party that's going on. That's for our children's ministry. Where we rented out several of the Ramadas out at the White Tanks. And we'll bring in probably 5, 6, 7 telescopes of all various sizes. Some very large ones as well. There'll be hot dogs, s'mores, hot chocolate, stuff like that out there. It's a great family event. If you're looking for something to do with your children, that's coming up on Friday, January 30th. We do need some volunteers for that as well. So if you're interested in helping, sign up through the bulletin, or you can contact Mike Denk, and he can get you some information on that. We have a How Is Your Soul devotional book that's available at the hub out in the lobby there. If you're looking for something for a devotion for yourself, make sure you pick one of those up. And then a couple other things to draw your attention to. If you haven't seen our new website, check it out, revealvineyard.com. On there, there is a Tell Us Your Story link. And if you have a story of what's taking place in your life right now, how God is moving in you, what God is doing, maybe there's someone at the church who is greatly impacting you, I'd love for you to fill out that form, just your name and email, write it out. And it will come back to us, and I'd love to hear that. And we'll ask you if it's possible if we could share that story. If not, just click the no box. If so, yes, we may contact you at some point in the future. But we'd love to see what God is doing in your life. The Pass It On ministry, we already have a washing machine, so just skip that. That's part of one of the ministries that we do here. There are some opportunities, though, for audiovisual workers, First Impressions ministry, sound techs, things like that. So make sure you check out some of those areas. Ladies, there is a Restoring Eve conference that's taking place in February 6th and 7th. So make your plans now. Men, boot your wives out of the house. Watch the kids if you have them. And if you're a single lady, come on as well. It's going to be a great opportunity for you. Have some time with some other women in the church. I know it'll be worth your time and very valuable to you spiritually. So make sure you take a look at that. Hey, man, if you missed the stand event yesterday, it was fantastic. Right, guys, who were there? There were about 45 men that were there. They did a fantastic job. I read a book recently that said how in the church we hype up everything, that everything is a can't-miss service, they change your life, Sunday, 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 you know, this type of thing. And everything that the church does is a can't-miss service, and you have to be there, and don't miss the don't-miss event of the year. And I promised myself this year, I'm not going to fall into that, because, you know, it's true. Pastor stands up here as a cheerleader, and get going, and let's go, and you know, blah. Here's all I'm going to say. Men, first Saturday of every month, if you're looking to be a better man, maybe grow in your character and integrity, looking possibly to be a better husband, a better father, one of the tools that we have for you is stand. You can choose if you want to be a part of it. Ladies, whatever you want God to do in your life, opportunity with the Restoring Eve conference. I said last week, one of the things I'm asking you to commit to this year is that you will take responsibility for your own spiritual development this year, and that you will be a self-feeder. This is part of how we would be a self-feeder, placing ourselves in position for God to speak and for God to move. If you're a first-time guest with us, you don't know a lot about us, we have 10 hills that we die on here. These are more than just values. We have several things that we value, but there's 10 things that we say, look, this is what we have to be about. This is what we want to be about. It's part of what we want to be. One of those things is spiritual growth, that if Reveal is your church, we have an expectation that you will grow spiritually. Because, not that it's my expectation, but if we place ourselves before God and if we take his word in and if we apply it, the promise that God says is that his word will transform us. And so one of the hills that we die on is not that we would just believe in the sake of believing or attend on a Sunday because it makes us feel good, but that we would actually be presenting ourselves in a position before God, that he would disturb our lives, as we talked last week, and that he would actually create transformation and growth within us. It's a value that we have that we read throughout the New Testament scripture, that those who are followers of Christ should be growing spiritually. Now, if you need a Bible, I've been telling you that if you need one, I have one for you, and I have some Bibles up here. If you don't have a Bible, I'd love to put one in your hand. If you're just one of these people that collects Bible and you want a new one, not for you, right? But if you don't have one, or if you have one, you know, maybe it's in a King James version and you don't understand the these and thous and you want something a little easier to read, I'd love to put one in your hands that you may, that you can be a self-feeder as well. Well, we're on the second Sunday of the year, and we started a new series last week called My Life in 2015. We talked about this idea of a do not disturb sign, that we all know what those are for. You hang them on the door of a hotel or to tell the world to leave you alone. We talked about how we live our lives often as if we had do not disturb signs around our neck. And we have this large do not disturb sign relationally, where it's kind of this way of telling people to keep your distance, stay away, not interested in forming a relationship, don't intrude on my space. We do it with friends, family. Sometimes we do it in our marriage. Whenever something goes wrong and something needs to be communicated, it's the do not disturb sign comes out. I want to be left alone. We've been through this carousel around in circles too many times, not interested in communicating. We do it sometimes in the church. Some attend a church for years with a do not disturb sign around our neck that just kind of keep your distance. I want to sneak in. I want to sneak out. Last week we talked about we wear a do not disturb sign sometimes morally, where we don't want to be disturbed in this idea of right and wrong that we have created for ourselves, because truth is relative, it's subjective, or so we think, and it doesn't matter what God says or what God feels about it. Do not disturb me. Just stay at arm's length. And then we focused last week on this last one, do not disturb spiritually. And it's this way of saying, God, I want all the benefits of being a believer. I love the forgiveness and the eternal life stuff and all of that. I love the safety net part of God being there when I need him. But really, you can come this far, but no further. Don't shake up my life. Don't disturb me. Don't ask me to commit beyond where I'm comfortable. Don't ask me to give beyond where I'm comfortable. Don't ask me to serve beyond where I'm comfortable. God, I like some of this, but do not disturb. And I challenged us last week that this would be the year that we would lay down our spiritual do not disturb signs. We would lay them down, and instead we would place ourselves in position for God to disturb our lives in whatever way he feels is needed. And so we talked about that. If you look through biblical texts, God has always been one who stirs up the status quo. He always looks to shake up and to awaken the sleeper and to revive the mundane and to make the ordinary extraordinary. And I challenged you with three prayers last week. I hope you've prayed them at some point last week. The first one, I challenged you with the prayer to stretch me. Whatever that looks like, God, in my life, I want you to stretch me spiritually. I don't need to be stretched physically. That part comes easy. But I need you to stretch me spiritually. Difficult because it goes against the self-preservation of I want to be comfortable and I want life to be easy. And I told you, as I've been praying that, because of what last year looked like, man, it's almost hard to speak it, because man, what I want to pray is, God, just give me an easy year. I don't want to be stretched anymore. I don't want my faith challenged. But God has always been more interested in our spiritual development than our physical comfort, right? And so I pray, God, stretch me. We ask, challenge you to pray, God, ruin me. not in this odd way where our lives become a wreck, but God, that you would ruin me towards all the things that compete with you. You would ruin me towards the sin that I am easily entangled by, the sin that lures me away, that you would ruin me towards those things that are not pleasing, those things that take my attention off of you and onto something else. Ruin me towards those things. And then finally, I challenge you to pray the prayer to restore me this year. God, would you restore me in whatever way is needed? Looks different for each one of us. Your restoration is different than mine. Maybe God needs to restore your mind and the thoughts, or maybe God needs to restore hope. Maybe God needs to restore your hope in the local church. Maybe you've been out of church for a long time and this is your first time back. What does God need to restore in your life? Maybe it's physical restoration. And I challenge you to make those your prayer this year. And so today we're going to continue with this, My Life in 2015. We're going to look at our vision, our values, and our purpose. So pray with me today. I want to ask that you would just, as I pray, that it would be your prayer. Or maybe you pray in your own words. And that your prayer would simply be, God, come and speak to me today. I don't want to waste the next 25 or 30 minutes. So you come and speak. Surprise me. Lord, I would pray that you would speak to us today, regardless of how many times we've been in this church or a church, regardless of how long we have believed or not believed, or if we're followers of Christ or just exploring Christ. Would you speak to us through the truth of your word? We invite you, your Holy Spirit, to be present. And for the offering, let it go towards the things that you're about, that we could represent you well in our community, in our church, around the world, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. We did a large collection for Angel Tree India, and I received some report back. I'll share that with you next week. We have the symphony in today, and so we're on a slight timeline, but I'll get you an update on how your donations were used for India next week. Right now, whatever your life looks like, it is the sum total of the decisions that you have made up until this point in life. That means that every decision, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we all have them, it means that the decisions that you make today will determine what life looks like tomorrow. And so there is weight on the decisions, how we respond, how we act, and what life looks like today, because it determines tomorrow, a year from tomorrow, 10 years from tomorrow. There are always circumstances, yes, that are beyond our control. No control of the parents that you were born to, or the environment maybe that you were raised in, or the abuse or the offense that people may have brought against you. But even in those moments, we have a choice. The choice that ultimately says we can use it as an excuse to fail, or an opportunity to overcome, an opportunity to be formed and to be made stronger and wiser and unique, with a unique vision and with a unique purpose. And so regardless of what yesterday looked like, regardless of how you would rate last year, regardless of what led you to the situation that you're in today, we all have one thing in common. And what we have in common is that all of us are moving forward, with tomorrow being unwritten by human hands. All of us share in that same future. We're all moving forward. Doesn't matter your education or your marital status or who your parents were or what part of the world you were born in. We're moving forward at the same pace. Yesterday is a memory and tomorrow is a blank page waiting to be written on. But in order to make the most of that story, in order to make the most of this year and the most of our life, there is something that all of us need in order to make the most of it. And that one thing that is needed will determine what the next page looks like and what the next chapter will look like. And that element is vision. Because the real tragedy in life today is that many people stumble through life without any vision whatsoever for the future, without any plan, without any direction, without any focus. And here's what I've come to know. We'll put it on the screen. Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. Now, think through this. We're at the beginning of a new year. Think through this. A year from now, you don't need to raise your hands, but how many would just say that, yeah, a year from now, I'd like to be closer to God. I'd like to have a better understanding of the Bible. I'd like to understand His leading and His guiding, and I'd like to experience His presence more. How many would say that a year from now, I want to have a stronger marriage, or a year from now, I want to have a stronger family bond, or a year from now, I want to have friends that I can truly count on. A year from now, I want to be in a better place financially, less debt, more saving. Maybe physically, you say a year from now, I want to be down 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 100 pounds. I actually want to be invited to a swim party and actually go, right? Maybe that's where you want to be. Guys, that we actually get invited to a party and we actually take our shirt off, right? Can you remember the last time you took your shirt off? I don't take mine off because I'm ripped. I don't want to make people jealous, but some of you, it's another story, right? So what would you say that a year from now, this is what I want my life to look like? And regardless of what you want 2015 to look like, none of it will happen by accident. Nobody accidentally gets closer to God. Nobody gets out of debt accidentally, wakes up one day and like, the 30 grand, it's gone. I don't know what happened. No one stumbles into a better marriage. No one stumbles into a better family situation. No one loses weight by accident. Well, I mean, some people, because of their metabolism, they lose weight and the rest of us hate you. But most of us don't lose weight by accident. Everyone ends up somewhere, but very few people will end up somewhere on purpose. And so here's what I ask you. What if at the end of this year, we end up somewhere on purpose? What if we have a vision for where we want our lives, where we want to be at the end of this year, and we actually end up somewhere on purpose? It'd be a pretty good year, right? And I think it's possible if there is vision. The Bible says it like this in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. By the way, if you weren't here last week, we started on the Quizlet app. If you download that, create a free account, and then search under users for Reveal Church, just as it's written, no space between church, you will get our memory verses. And when you are at work on a break or at the DMV, whatever, if you pick that up, you can flip through the cards. One side, it will have the reference. Touch it will flip over, show you the other side, and you can start memorizing the Bible with us. I told you last week, the best thing I've ever done for my spiritual growth as a self-feeder has been memorizing the Bible and meditating on it. There's an opportunity for you. You know what? I'm not going to rah-rah you. If you want it, do it. If not, you might be in the same place spiritually you are next year. There's an opportunity for you. It's free. This verse is already uploaded, ready to go. You can start memorizing it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want you to just take a moment. I want you to contemplate that verse. And I want you to ask yourself, what does it mean to me? Just meditate on this. What does it look like in your life? There is no vision, people perish. Have you experienced the truth of it? Or maybe you're experiencing the painful truth of it right now. Just take a moment, meditate on it. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? See, if we applied the truth to this today, it would sound like this. Where there is no vision for marriage, the marriage becomes a statistic. Where there is no vision for financial freedom, the lure of always wanting more buries us in debt, anxiety, and stress. And we all know what it's like to go to bed wondering how we're going to pay the bills tomorrow. It's a horrible place to be in. If you're young, man, don't put whatever you're thinking about buying, I promise you, when you're lying in bed wondering how you're going to pay your bills, that thing that you bought will never be worth it. Am I right, people? Those of you that are in that debt, that car that we stretch for, and we're like, oh, it's going to be great. And when you're lying in bed and you don't know how to pay the bills, you would do anything. Doesn't matter if I got a cheaper car. I would do it in a heartbeat because that feeling of debt and the pressure, it's never worth that thing that we bought or spent the money on and, you know, went out on a limb for. Where there is no vision for spiritual maturity or spiritual growth, we become stagnant and we start to wither. That passage today would mean where there is no vision for our family, we become individuals living under the same roof. Where there is no vision for the story that God is writing for our lives, we wander through life. We live for the weekend, just get me through the week, or we live just to pay the bills or to hold the marriage together for the sake of the kids, or we stumble through life until the sweet release of death falls upon us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, this is another translation that we'll put up there. That's in the KJV. Here's the NIV. It says, where there is no revelation, where there's no God-breathed revelation, the people cast off restraint. It means without God revealing himself, his plan, his purpose, the people cast off restraint, meaning they're going to run, we run in every direction. We abandon ourselves to our own rules and our own wisdom and our own plans. We cast off restraint. We pursue our own cravings, regardless how painful or how destructive. Until the end, we perish. It's almost as if we say, without vision, it's this idea of, well, I guess I'll try this direction in life, right? And we go this direction until we hit a wall and we think, well, that didn't work. So how about I'll go this way? And we go that way and we fall into a hole or it becomes difficult. And now I'm not sure what to do. But a friend said this way is good. And so I try that way and that doesn't work. So I'm going to go this way. I've already been this way and it didn't work, but it might be different this time. Has anyone ever gone down the same path repeatedly? We all have. Thinking, well, this time it's going to be different. And the problem is that if there's no vision, if there's no revelation of God breathing upon us, saying, this is what I want your life to look like. We cast off restraint. We run in every direction, a million miles an hour, until it becomes destructive and we perish. Because everyone will end up somewhere, but few people are going to end up somewhere on purpose. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to rate last week. I want you to rate it on 1 being the worst week ever and 10 being you came to church and found out I only had a 5-minute sermon, all right? So you, which is never going to happen. So 1, the worst week ever, 10, you know, however you, the best week, I want you to rate it in your mind. Put a number on last week. You don't need to tell me what it is. Put a number. Now, hopefully you did that. I want you to ask yourself this question. What did I base that number on? So if you said a 3, what drove you to assign last week low on the approval rating as a 3? You said, well, I didn't close the big deal at work, or wife and I fought all the time, or I didn't get the promotion, or the boss rode my back, or I worked a lot of hour overtime, or my car broke down, or you know, the heater's not working in the house, or the baby had 2 creepers up the back in a row. Bad week, right? I get that one. Those are horrible. And if you rated it high, 8 or a 9, what led you to rate it an 8 or a 9? So think about that. I closed the deal. I closed the sale. I had a fat paycheck from overtime. I received a promotion. I was on vacation. The cat died. I got a new car, moved into a house. I'm not a cat fan. I'm sorry. I'm joking for those of you a cat fan. Had time with my family and friends, or, you know, got to see my parents. Or what was it that you rated it an 8, a 9, or up higher? What was it? Now, whatever you use, listen, to establish your number for last week, whatever led you to assign X number to the number line, is a clue as to how you define a successful life. Whatever you use to assign your number is a clue as to how you define success. Here's what I mean. I know people in this church that when events and circumstances happen to them that would ruin my week, they are easily able to dismiss it because they define success in a way that I do not. And so I want you to think through it. If you assigned it low, is it possible that there were good things in your life that actually happened? You know, dinners with families and laughter with children and good friends and things like that. But the car trumped all of that. And maybe it's a rewiring in our mind because everybody wants to have a great life, but most of us can't define a great week. Because without vision, we get all messed up and we start to run in every direction and we put effort into things that ultimately really don't matter. Maybe some of you remember 2004 Olympics. There was an Olympian named Matthew Emmons. We'll put him up on the screen there. He was shooting for the gold medal in the 50-meter three-position rifle event where it's prone, standing, and kneeling. And Matthew was so far, true story, so far out front that all he really had to do was hit the target somewhere close and the gold medal was his. Matter of fact, it was already assumed by everyone in the stadium, announcers and all, that the gold medal was his. And so the time came for him to shoot. It was in the bag, wrapped up, and he aimed and he prepared and he slowed his heart rate and he calmed his breathing and took aim. And he pulled the trigger and bam, bullseye. Right in the center, bullseye, gold medal, right? Not exactly. If you know the story, it was a bullseye, but on someone else's target. Matter of fact, the judges thought the gun misfired because his target was clear until they noticed the target next to him had two shots in it. He went from first place, gold medal, to eighth place with one shot. Have you ever felt like you were shooting at the wrong target? Have you ever felt like you just lost God's vision or maybe never had God's vision and you found yourself shooting at someone else's target? Someone else who said, this is what your life should be about. This is the best for you. And you try and you focus and you calm yourself and you pursue and you pull the trigger and you might hit a bullseye, but at some point you realize that this isn't my target. It's not what my life should be about. We put all kinds of effort into it because where there is no vision, people miss. We miss the plan and the target that God has for us. Everyone. We're all in the same situation. Everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. You shoot at the wrong target for a day, it's no big deal. You shoot at the wrong target for 2 days, no big deal. You shoot at the wrong target for a month, no big deal in the scheme of life. The problem becomes when you shoot at the wrong target for a day and a week and then a month and enough months turn into a year and enough years turn into a lifetime of pursuing the wrong dreams, the wrong vision, the wrong goals, shooting at the wrong target because we've never had vision of what God wants our lives to look like. Without revelation, the people wander and we shoot at a target that was never meant for us. And it happens slowly. It's a very slow drift where you may have had, some of you, maybe you had your eyes on the vision, on the right target, but slowly it drifts and slowly we're pulled and we don't even realize it's happening because it's so subtle, it moves so slowly. Are you drifting today? Or have you never had your eyes on the target? Have you never received the vision? Have you never received revelation for your life today? Because a slow drift happens for all of us easily. Wife and I, several years ago, we went on a cruise with my daughter, and we're in Cozumel, I think, on one of those beach excursions, and they had all those blow-up things, and it was, you know, roped off, and, you know, there were buoys and stuff like that to stay on this, you know, stay in this section, and my daughter and I are playing, and my wife was like, we kept telling her, come on, get off and play with us on these big trampolines in the water, and she's like, no, I'm just going to lay here and watch, which is code for I'm about to fall asleep, and it's, and she started to fall asleep. And so my daughter and I are playing. We're goofing around, and we look, and mom's over there. And we're playing a little more, and we look. And after a while, mom was this little tiny orange dot way out in the ocean. And she fell asleep and had no idea how far she drifted, right? And then all of a sudden, you see her wake up and you can see this little the panic as she realizes how far, she's in the shipping lanes at this point, right? She is out there, not that far. The drift happens slowly. Nobody gets it. Nobody sees it. Nobody feels it. It's a slow drift, and all of us can easily drift off target. And so what would it look like this year if God gave you a vision for your marriage? What would it look like this year if God gave you a vision for your family? What would it look like this year if God gave you a vision, revelation for yourself personally? Bring those house lights down, if you will, guys, up in the box there. In fact, I want you to just take a moment to pray on this. I'm going to ask you just kind of block me out right now, however you want to just kind of close your eyes and just kind of, this is between you and God, and I want you to just take a moment, and I want you to ask God to give you vision. If you're married, let's start there. Ask God to give you a vision for your marriage. Revelation for what your marriage should look like. Don't rush through it. Some of us, we've never done this. Just be open to God speaking to you, moving upon your heart. What does that look like? Father, we ask that you would forgive us for not being as diligent as we might in our ministry of our marriage. And help us in a fresh vision, that is your vision, to lay down our life for our spouse. Help us to remember that being equally yoked with our spouse begins with a death to ourselves and following the example of your son, Jesus. Discipline us to build each other up in unity. Empower us to tear down encampments of sin and destructive behaviors. Be the center of our union, giving us a fresh vision. Father, give a fresh revelation for those who are married in regards to their marriage. I want you to ask for God to give you revelation for your family. He would give you vision as to what your family should look like. At the end of your life, what is it supposed to be? Give us vision for that, God. We lift our families to you. Help us as a family to look towards one another so that we may mutually aid in looking to God and serving our fellow man, serving one another. Grant our family the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Renew our vision and our purpose. Lead us in your direction. And finally, God, I pray you would give us a vision for ourselves. Just take a moment, ask God, give me revelation, a vision for what my life should look like. Because on my own, I've gotten myself in all kinds of trouble. We all have. So God, give vision. What do you want to lead us? What should life look like? At the end of my life, what should my life be about? Lord, give us undivided hearts and single-minded devotion. Remind us that we need to be wholly yours, not half-hearted in our commitment. May each of us pursue your vision and your righteousness and thought and word and deed. Give us a vision of what our lives should be about. We ask, Jesus, that you would be the center of all that we envision. May your path be our only scope of direction. I pray you would steady our knees in this race of life. Keep the enemy far from the commission, the vision, the revelation that you give, and the calling on our lives. Listen, for some, this needs to be your focus in the days and the weeks and the months to follow. Asking God, give me vision. Give me purpose. Matter of fact, let me close with this, and I'll go through it quickly. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why are you here? I mean, what does that really look like in the grand scheme of life? When the end of your life comes, what does life need to look like, feel like, in order for you to say that my time on this earth was well spent? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought through that? It's a question that I ask myself, in all honesty, monthly at least. What does my life need to be about? What is my purpose? What does it need to feel like? What is it, if I'm on my deathbed, what needs to have occurred in order for me to say, this was time well spent? Doesn't mean that I was perfect. Doesn't mean that it was always easy. Doesn't mean that it was a Hallmark moment. At the end of my life, what does that look like? Paul says it like this in Acts 20:24. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless. Now, Paul's about to drop the unless on us. He's about to say, if I don't accomplish this in my life, then all of life was futile, useless. And here's what he says. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. He says, my life is futile, useless, ineffective, in vain, unsuccessful, failed, unproductive, barren, unprofitable, and hollow and empty if I do not, at the end of my life, use it for this purpose that God has given me. Now let me ask, how would you complete that statement today? But my life is worth nothing to me unless I... considered it? Have you ever considered when death comes, what is the difference from one who said, I've used my time well, to one that says enters through death with all kinds of regret? How would you fill in that blank? I consider my life to be worth nothing, unsuccessful, unproductive, ineffective, unless I accomplish this. It may be several things. See, I know that many people, not just here, but worldwide, cannot complete that sentence with any type of clarity. Because we have no vision and no purpose from our Creator to say, here's what your life needs to be about. I'll tell you, here's what it looks like for my life today. And I say this in all sincerity. My life is worth nothing to me unless I fulfill and exceed the vows that I've made to my wife. It's one of the, and I don't, you know, we have to say that because you're on stage. No, I don't. But after saying that, you better kiss me like you mean it after the service. That's it. Listen, in all honesty, if I get to my deathbed and I failed her, if I burned out or if I cheated or got wrapped up in pornography or ignored her needs or would not sacrifice, in all sincerity, open book before you, I would have failed. My life would have been unproductive. My life is worth nothing to me unless my children have experienced the consistent love and devotion and the leading of their father. I'm not perfect in that, man. I made mistakes. I was telling somebody some mistakes last week that I made, and I was laughing at them. Just, you know, I spanked one of my kids on Christmas Day once. How bad of a father is that, right? I did. I feel horrible for it. But for me, life is in vain, unproductive. I have this vision in my mind of when I'm on my deathbed, what my children will feel about their dad. Better than just words that you say at a funeral, because everyone's going to say something nice at a funeral, right? These are the things that I think through. This is my vision of what I'm working toward. Not perfect, all kinds of mistakes. But man, if I don't accomplish that, I've blown it. My last one, my life is worth nothing to me unless I passionately, consistently, and effectively live out my Christian faith. I never want to live as a show. I never want to pretend before you or anyone else. I want to live out my life in such a way that pulls people closer to Jesus. Whether I am on this stage as a pastor or whether I am working as a youth leader, as a volunteer, and I've done it all. Clean the church, prayer meetings where no one else was there, you know, ministries that nobody knew about. I've done it all. Because my vision at the end of my life is to have been a participant in the kingdom of something bigger than myself. And if I fail in that, my life is unsuccessful. Now, that's kind of heavy. But that's the vision. Now, you might be older and you say, man, well, how do I do that? You know, I'm in my 50s or my 60s. Start your vision today. God, what does vision look like for the next 10, 15, 20 years that I have? And I'm going to pursue that vision. If you're younger, man, get it now. You will avoid all kinds of pitfalls. This is what my life will be about. This is what my life will look like. So what does that look like for you? I was up late Saturday night or Friday night working on my message. And this is odd for me because if you know me well, I'm my own worst critic. And I am, man, I beat myself up. And as I was working on this, my wife was asleep. I was writing out, you know, if I don't accomplish this, those things. And I felt, if I died tonight in my sleep, I died on target. Not perfect. Messed up. Disappointed people. But I felt like if I died tonight, I died on target. That was a pretty good feeling. I don't say that to boast in myself, because if you know me, I beat myself up. It was almost one of those God moments, I think, that God kind of said, you're on target here. And so what does that look like for you? What does that mean for you? I believe that God could have placed us at any moment and any point in history, but for whatever reason, he placed us in this moment, at this time, meaning I think God has placed us with special gifts and values and placed me at this moment in history because I am uniquely prepared to do the task that he has given me. And I believe it's true for all of us. So discover your purpose. Head out down on that road. Don't shoot too high. You know, my life is worth nothing to me unless I bring lasting peace to the Middle East. Too high. Maybe yours is, my life is nothing unless my brother or my husband comes to know Christ. That's my mission right now. And I will work towards that end and pray towards that end and strive toward that end. And I whatever is needed, that's it for you. What does that look like for you? And don't embrace someone else's vision. Your boss has a vision for your life, and it's to work harder and make more money for the company. Your friends have a vision for your life. Maybe your family has a vision for your life, to walk in the footsteps of your father. What is God's vision for your life? Here's how we conclude this. If you're here, maybe you're new to church as a whole or this church. Maybe you don't know the mission or the purpose of the one that we follow. His name is Jesus. He was very clear. He gave statements like this as well, very clear as to what his mission and what his purpose was. He said things like this: for the Son of Man, that's one of the terms for Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's put that up on the screen there, please. In other words, he was saying, although I came as royalty, I'm not coming to be served as I came as a king. I'm not expecting to be served as royalty, but rather I've come to serve you. He said this. He said, the thief, it comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that I may give you life and that you might have life abundantly. He's like, this is my purpose. This is my mission. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Maybe you didn't know it when you came in here today. all of us are infected with the same disease. It's that disease of sin that has separated us from our Creator. And the purpose, the mission of Jesus was to remove that sin that we could be reunited with the God who created us. That's the purpose of the cross, right? That he took our sins upon himself. That I owed a penalty for my sins, numerous as they are. I owed a payment that I could never pay. And the idea of the cross is God says, my wrath must be spilled on someone because you're guilty and I'm guilty. That judgment, that penalty must be placed upon someone because if God is just, it can't go unpunished. And the cross is all about God saying, I will take out my wrath, but not on you, Marty. I'm taking it out on my son, on myself. And he will pay your penalty. And that's the cross. And so I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you had a vision and you've lost a vision for your life. Maybe you've never had a vision for your life. Maybe you never met the one that pulls us together today, Jesus. Today is your opportunity. Why don't you just close your eyes with me as we wrap this up. But it's a heavy message today. Because it's on subjects that we like to push away and we don't really want to focus on and spend time meditating and contemplating because it's painful to us. Especially if we're off target. Especially if we're wasting the time. Lord, we're all guilty, myself included, of wasting time and shooting at the wrong targets. But God, would you give us vision today? Would you give us revelation, each one of us individually, as to what our lives should be about, what they should look like? Would you set us on a course for the purpose and the mission that you've put within us? Would we be able to clearly define that and head towards that from this day moving forward? That all that we're going to be about is towards that vision, that revelation of what life will look like when we come to the end. And I know there are things beyond our control. But as it be with me, what is under my control, I will work towards that. I need to give you opportunity with your eyes closed in prayer. If you've never met the Jesus that I spoke about, the Jesus that said, yes, your sins are many, but I can take them away and you will no longer be guilty of that which you have done wrong. And if you're interested in those sins being removed today, just, you're going to have to be bold. Just put your hand up. I want to pray for you today. I don't know why you came or who brought you or the first time or you've been here for years. You would say, I need that forgiveness of my sin. Amen. Amen. Those of you that put your hand up, I want you to just simply, just in your spirit, in your heart, Jesus, I surrender to you. And I embrace the forgiveness that you offer. That all of my sins, countless as they are, I accept your forgiveness, that you wash me clean. And I would ask today that you would rule and reign in my life, that it would no longer be myself that is leading in every direction, running in every way, but now that you would lead and you would set the course for my life. You would give me new vision and new purpose, and that you would give me the strength and the grace to walk that path. For all of us, today is the first day that begins to shape tomorrow. As your pastor, may God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your own heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and the exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. This year, may God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain and rejection and starvation, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in your world, in your family, in your relationships, so that you can do what others say cannot be done. May God bless you this year. In the name of Jesus.